This is Thursday, June 23rd, 2011. We are in Natick, Massachusetts, and this tape is part of the Morse Institute Library's continuing Veterans Oral History Project. My name is Maureen Sullivan. Our cameraman is Dan McDermott of Natick Pegasus. We are privileged to have with us today Dawn Ross. Welcome, Dawn.
Thank you.
May I ask when you were born?
I was born August 21st, 1959.
And where were you born?
Norwood, Mass.
What is your current address? Do you live in still Norwood or elsewhere?
I live in Framingham. I live on Longview Road in Framingham.
Your marital status?
I am happily married.
Children?
I have two wonderful boys. One is 28 and he lives in Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And one is turning 9 tomorrow. His name is Warren. And he's my little 9-year. I have 19 years difference between my boys.
Wow. You were saying a little something about your family background before the interview. Let's get into that first before we start your military career. I understand your father was career Navy.
He was. Matter of fact, he was on a ship when I was born, so he was not there when I was born. I didn't get to see him till 2 months after I was born. Well, of course, I don't remember it, but he lived, ate, and breathed Navy. We were brought up in a household that you valued military service. He was proud, and it was I had a great upbringing in regards to the respect for the military.
And was he a World War II veteran, Korean War?
He was Korean War into the Vietnam War, and he was he got to the rank of Master Chief Boiler Technician, which is the highest enlisted rank that you could get. He also he was a recruiter. He taught at the War College in Newport. One thing that I was always very proud of, he always tried to keep us, even though he was stationed on many ships, one being the USS Wasp, which is a famous ship, but he kept us in one place until he got transferred from this area to South Carolina, and that was where he was born and raised. So the whole family moved back there. I had stayed in Massachusetts while they moved around. So,
is he still with us?
He's not. He passed away in October 2009. But you know, we had a beautiful service with very Navy-oriented, military-oriented service.
And I understand your brother also went into the Navy.
My brother, he was 2 years younger than me, but he went into the Navy 2 years prior to my enlistment. And matter of fact, we both went in under the same recruiter. So he was very proud that he got two family members. And my brother he retired as a machinist mate chief. And he's retired to South Carolina as well.
And what's his name?
His name is Robert Barnhill, and my dad's name was Joe F. Barnhill. He always said Joe F. Barnhill, USN retired.
And now we come to you. Now you were born and raised in Norwood.
I was born in Norwood, but I was born and raised in Wrentham, Mass. My family were stationed in Charleston, South Carolina, I stayed in Mass. Moved from just two towns over to Medway, Mass. And I'm a proud Medway graduate, class of 1977.
Okay. And did you go into the Navy right after that?
I did not. I wanted to be an art teacher, so I actually went to college to be an art teacher, and after a year, I said, you know what, I'm going to take a year off and work. Matter of fact, I rose to the ranks at the Filings Distribution Center in Natick. It was on Speen Street, a great company. I was in the executive training program. They plucked me from the masses, and I really enjoyed my time there. But I always felt like I needed something more. So when I was 21, I moved down to be closer to my family in South Carolina. It was in a recession, so I was like, okay, military service sounds good. I found a position, they had the delayed entry program where you could find out what you really wanted to do, and you could say, I will wait till that that job becomes available, that billet, as they call it, mm-hmm. becomes available. So I enlisted in September 81, and I reported for active duty in June 82.
And of course, you did basic.
I did basic. I mm-hmm. will say because I had that year of college, they plucked me to be a sectional leader in boot camp. I don't know if that was a curse or not, but I will say that boot camp was one of the hardest experiences I've ever had in my life. June, July, and August in Orlando, Florida, I actually lost 35 pounds in boot camp from all the activity and the mm-hmm. blood, sweat, and tears. My group was the first group in the history of Training Six uh-huh. in Orlando to actually get what they called flags. So mm-hmm. our group was the first women's group that got every single flag that you could have, and we were celebrated, and it was made a big deal. But I will say, even though it was nice on that end, it was tough. Mm-hmm. It was tough. I did not expect everything that I was going to get.
So after Orlando, what happens?
Okay. I was very excited to go to really start going to my school to get my training in mm-hmm. anti-submarine warfare in Norfolk, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And we called that A school. And that was a 5.5 month school. And I absolutely really loved what I was doing. And I loved the everything I was learning. It was so new and things I'd never thought about before. And oceanographic information mm-hmm. and things of that nature, and different types of shipping and submarines. So I learned all this, things mm-hmm. that I had never thought I would enjoy.
Did you choose the training, or did the training choose you?
I really, when I look through everything mm-hmm. that was available mm-hmm. to women at that time, mm-hmm. And there were some things that women could not do still at that point, mm-hmm. but this was something that was very interesting to me, and I said, I want to do that. And it was kind of like the only thing I really wanted to do. This was well in advance. This is before the enlistment period. This was when I mm-hmm. was doing my research and looking to see what I wanted to do. The Navy wanted to put me into a corpsman type with a medical field or a dental tech. But I kind of just held out for this ocean systems technician because mm-hmm. it sounded really interesting dealing with oceanography and shipping and submarines and things of that nature.
So you're there for 5 months. Anything more you want to say about that base?
I definitely enjoyed it. I never thought it snowed that much, and I remember snowed a lot in Virginia, and I just didn't know that. And I had forgot to tell you, but right before I went in, I got married. So I had to leave my husband mm-hmm. And at that time. And I just, the day after I got back from the honeymoon, I went to boot camp.
Wow.
But we had a nice big wedding. It was like, mm-hmm. okay, so I got married. Then I left him for, 10 weeks. And, but he did follow me to Virginia, so mm-hmm. he was there. Then after that, I went to advanced training in mm-hmm. Centerville Beach, California, which is a small town south of Eureka, California. I went there for 6 weeks for advanced school to learn computer systems. And the one thing I remember about that was my first earthquake, and it rained every day. So not a good experience from mm-hmm. that. But I will say the one thing, it was raining a lot, so we spent a lot of time inside. And mm-hmm. lo and behold, on my way to my first duty station, I realized that I was pregnant. So before I even got to Newfoundland, I was just going into the Navy, mm-hmm. haven't reported my first duty station, and here I was with a baby. Well, pregnant with a baby.
Wow.
And it was a strange, because they said that my husband had been coming with me the whole time we were going to go to Newfoundland, and then they said, no, we can't have him come. So mm-hmm. that was even worse. But he did come with me, and we couldn't get base housing, so we lived out in the Newfoundland community, mm-hmm. which was very interesting. It was a little bit of hardship, but we really didn't have a lot of money because he wasn't mm-hmm. working. He couldn't work because mm-hmm. he was an American citizen. So I remember having rented a house. It was a whole house for $90 a month. It didn't have any heat mm-hmm. or hot water, but we when I think about the how we worked through that, mm-hmm. it was, mm-hmm. you can work through anything. It made me stronger. Uh-huh. And when you first get your first duty station, you have to do 3 months either in the kitchen or in security. So I had the lovely duty of doing a sentry duty outside in Newfoundland, waving the cars in and checking vehicles mm-hmm. In sub-zero weather with, it seemed like the winds never stopped howling. So that was January, February, and March. Oh, so I always get the wrong months.
I know, really. So did you ever ask your father or brother, did you ever go through anything like this?
Oh, yes. Of course, they said they had it tough because they spent a lot of time on ships. Mm-hmm. They always said I had it so easy compared to what they had it because uh-huh. they had the small, it was very hot. My dad was mm-hmm. and my brothers both were down in the bottoms of the ships in the heat and with boilers and machinery and things like that. So mm-hmm. when I think about their struggle, it wasn't as bad. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was as bad on mm-hmm. me.
One of my previous interviewees was in the early 60s. She had actually married in the Navy. She actually married into the a Marine Corps sergeant, I believe, and ended up pregnant, and she could no longer serve in the Navy. So obviously...
Things changed.
Things changed, indeed.
I will say it was a rough part. It was mm-hmm. a rough patch because I did develop complications with my pregnancy, and I was on bed rest for 4 months, mm-hmm. Not even on base. I was out off base, without any family. But I will say, my husband was able to get an on base job, so he was able to work. But it was not a fun time. Right. I will say that I gave birth. It was a 100-mile ambulance ride to St. John's, Newfoundland, from where we were. Mm-hmm. And we just got to the hospital in time, and I had the baby, and he was a healthy little guy, and he doesn't remember too much of Newfoundland, but it got better because then I was able after they give you 4 weeks off after you have a mm-hmm. baby, so finally after I had been there in September, I believe probably September 21st. 1983, I finally got the report to my job. I had the night shift, mm-hmm. the 10 to 8 in the morning shift, so that was my first shift, and I can remember feeling welcomed, and mm-hmm. I really got to learn a little bit about what all the schooling mm-hmm. that I had. They had to be refreshed because it had been 6 months or so before mm-hmm. I'd gotten there, so it was really really a great time and a great mm-hmm. great camaraderie.
So okay, you're married with a baby, you're in Newfoundland. How long did this last?
This lasted for I was stationed in Newfoundland for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And as an aside, my grandmother, who basically I was the apple of her eye, she was my idol. I love this woman, was from Newfoundland. So she was able to come and visit when I had the baby. She came mm-hmm. right before I had the baby. Matter of fact, the day I had the baby, mm-hmm. my father had come up to bring mm-hmm. her there. And my father did not stay long enough for me to have the baby. But
right.
she
mm-hmm.
was there with me. But then we got to go to see where she was
wow.
raised and brought up. And it was kind of nice, even though I didn't really want, I wanted to go to someplace warm, but mm-hmm. it was nice to know that there was family in Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm. What was your grade at the time?
I was an E3. Mm-hmm. So that was right out of boot camp. Mm-hmm. I was a seaman, they call it seaman apprentice in boot camp. And then I was, when I left the boot camp, I was a seaman recruit. And then while at Newfoundland, I made petty officer third class. But that was a little bit longer in the mm-hmm. journey there.
Okay, so what happens after Newfoundland?
What I did in the Navy, there really wasn't a lot of places that they could send you. But one of the places that I could go was Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And I figured, okay, I had to go to Newfoundland, very cold. Let me try to go to Hawaii. Not thinking how far away it was from everything, but so my husband and my son now that he's 2 years old, mm-hmm. We pack up and we go to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And I get off the plane and I just absolutely adored Hawaii. I loved it. It was so wonderful and pleasant, the weather, the people. Mm-hmm. I just immersed myself in the atmosphere and the population, and I loved it. We mm-hmm. we had base housing, so that was a plus. Right in Pearl Harbor, and it was beautiful. I did have to take a small boat or a ferry over mm-hmm. to work, because I worked on Ford Island, mm-hmm. which was the small island right there where all the battleships were at mm-hmm. when Pearl Harbor happened. I will say I loved my job. I progressed up the ladder to Petty Officer Second Class, and I got into the quality assurance department. So because of that connection, I was able to move my family to a home on mm-hmm. Ford Island to be closer to work, so I could be on call mm-hmm. because of the ferry and the boat, because they didn't mm-hmm. have a bridge there. They have a bridge there now, but they did not right. when mm-hmm. I was there. Which, even though you were kind of isolated on the island, but I absolutely, here I was an enlisted person with my, and there were single homes. I didn't, you know, usually Navy housing, you have like four living in one, mm-hmm, you know, one right. structure. Mm-hmm. This was a home, and I will tell you, as close as it is from me to the sidewalk, was where the water was, where the ocean was. The backyard was directly right near the Pearl Harbor Memorial. Wow. I could see that, you know, clear as day. It was mm-hmm. from here to the street. It was beautiful base housing, and I loved where I lived. Mm-hmm. And then as my son was growing, and he loved it in mm-hmm. Hawaii, and my husband got a job in Hawaii, in town. Mm-hmm. So things were going great, and my career was going great, and I was going up for petty officer. I had got second class, but I was going up for petty officer first class. And I had taken all the pre-qualifications for the test. I had got the highest level in my study area of what mm-hmm. I did. And I decided it was time. I re-enlisted, as a matter of fact, right there overlooking the Arizona mm-hmm. in my backyard for 4 years. So mm-hmm. it was wonderful. I love what I did in the military, mm-hmm. But I was missing my family so very, very much. I only came home once in the 4.5 years I was in Hawaii, and I would say that was the biggest reason why I decided. It was a heart-wrenching decision, because I thought maybe I would be, in 20 years, I would retire, but I decided that I was going to get out. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, there are days I do regret it, mm-hmm. that I didn't stay in, especially, you know, knowing some of the people that have found me on Facebook mm-hmm. are still in, that I was serving with, and they're, you know, they've been in over 20 years now. Uh-huh. So it's a small regret.
Yeah. Tell us about what it was like during the Cold War.
You know, it was, we were scared. We didn't know, you know, we knew what kind of capabilities that the Russians had. We totally believed that they could aim their cruise missiles and hit us at any time. Mm-hmm. So we were very vigilant on any sort of movement that they had, submarines, shipping. We actually had training on how to spot if somebody was trying to they were spies and try to get information mm-hmm. from you. My job in the Navy was secret. Mm-hmm. It has been declassified since 1991. Mm-hmm. You know, we can speak about it, but there were, I couldn't even tell my family or my husband what exactly I did. So I think it's, you know, because of technology and because of our relationship with the Russians, mm-hmm. With the Soviet Union, that my job no longer exists in the Navy. It's gone to some higher technology that I'm not privy to. Mm-hmm. But what we did, all the bases were closed. That we stay, the Navy, we call them naval facilities. Mm-hmm. They're closed now. And other things, because of technology, mm-hmm. and our relationship with the world, things have changed.
Okay. So you were in the Navy for a grand total of?
Active duty 7 mm-hmm. years, and inactive 1 year, so mm-hmm. 8 years.
What happened after Hawaii?
That's when I, you know, I left. I thought I would want to get, I would love to have gotten a civilian job mm-hmm. in the field that I worked in, but that would have meant I would have had to move to Florida or California. I was almost decided on Florida to go, but mm-hmm. then I hadn't been with my family. I missed my family. Everybody's growing up. Mm-hmm. My son didn't have his cousin. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go back to school because I had saved mm-hmm. money.
Right.
With the, it was called VEAP, the mm-hmm. Veterans Educational Assistance Program. So I went full time to get my associate's degree in business. Mm-hmm. And I did that in 2 years. I worked part time, went to school. And then I started working for Radisson Corporation mm-hmm. As an executive housekeeper and trainer. And that was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, mm-hmm. and seemed like a typical position in South Carolina because Myrtle Beach is a very touristy place. So it was kind of like my degree was in tourism management. Mm. So I was able to raise up the ranks at Radisson. Mm-hmm. When I decided that I wanted to have a more 9-to-5 type mm-hmm. position, so I worked at a large corporation there called AVX as the building manager, kind of mm-hmm. like a project manager for all the landscaping and housekeeping janitorial. So I had a large staff, anywhere between 75 and 100 people. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and then I decided I wanted to do the same thing, so I went to work for the state, mm-hmm. Had better benefits, stable hours, so I did that. I worked at Coastal Carolina University, and that's in Conway, South Carolina, until I reconnected. In the meantime, I'm sorry, I got divorced.
Okay.
Forgot to tell you that. South mm-hmm. Carolina got divorced, mm-hmm. and my high school sweetheart, my college sweetheart, who we were engaged back in 1977, uh-huh. we reconnected, and I came up here for a visit in 2001, mm-hmm. and we had been having a phone relationship for 2 months, which his phone bill was outrageous. I was in South Carolina, he was here. Mm-hmm. So then I came up here, he got down on his knee, he says, I loved you once, I love you now, I love you forever, will you be my wife?
Wow.
So now, and so I leave my job, my home, my family, everything, and I move up here. It was 2 weeks before 9/11. And,
oh my.
And there were really no jobs and nothing, but I had found a job, I wasn't happy with it, I won't say where it was. I'm happy now, I'll tell you, it all comes around full circle. Mm-hmm. I had, and lo and behold, 42 years old, mm-hmm. I find out I'm pregnant again. So he had never had any children, so now we have a wonderful, almost mm-hmm. 9 tomorrow, son who we love and dote on. Mm-hmm. I made a new life at Framingham State University. I kind of continue on with my working in higher education. I love that population. Mm-hmm. And I've been there almost 9 years. I've been in Mass 10 and been there almost 9 now. And I absolutely adore my job. I am the internship coordinator and career counselor in the Career Services Office, and I assist students and alums with all their career services needs. And I get a lot of self-satisfaction from helping these students with their career paths in finding employment.
I understand, this is before the interview, of course, that you had some connection with veterans groups?
Yes, I was, when Framingham decided, the students decided, we have some vets there, that they wanted to have a veterans organization on campus. The leadership came to me and said, would you please be our advisor? And I was the first advisor for the Framingham State University Veterans Association. I realized it was a little bit too much. I did it for a year and a half, and and I decided that I would resign to put a little bit more emphasis on working with in my current job. But I'm there for them. They come, you know, I'm there as a resource for them. There are not many, I don't really know of any other staff members that have military service, such as I. So I think it was a natural for them to ask me. But but I still are very close to all of them. And I love working with helping veterans try to get their military resume, their military what tasks and duties and qualifications onto a resume and be able to get them civilian work while they're going to school. That have a passion for working with vets.
Okay. And I'm assuming that most of the veterans that you're dealing with are Iraq, Afghanistan era?
Yes, they are.
Anybody older or?
Not right now, no. They're Iraq and Afghanistan veterans that I'm working with. Some of the people in the community have come in to sit in on some of the sessions, and they're like Vietnam veterans, but not currently that I know of at Framingham State going to classes and enrolled.
Okay. And are you a member of any veterans organizations?
I know. I am a member of the Student Veterans of America. That is a group that tries to advocate for students across the campuses nationwide. And I'm a member, but I haven't gone to any of the conferences or things of that nature. But our students go to them. Our students have gone to the last two conferences of the Student Veterans of America, which is out of Washington, D.C.
Okay. Any other organizations like the Legion, VFW?
I have not. My father was, but I know, you know, we do feel welcome. I know what the invitation is for everybody. I don't know. I just have not, no, but I know they're there.
Dawn, is there anything else you'd like to present before this audience who are about to see this interview?
Well, I would just like to thank all veterans, past and current service members. I thank them for their service. We have everything that we have in this great country. We owe to the military, service members, and veterans. We would not have this great and strong country as we would today without military. I would love for my sons to go in. I advocate for military service. I had one of my best friend's sons. He's talking to me about it because of my experience. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? I always try to say, this is a great way to start your life, to learn leadership skills, to learn your service of country and to feel good about yourself, your self-esteem. There are so many reasons to go into the military. I know some countries it's mandatory that you go into the military. I'm not saying it has to be mandatory, but I personally highly recommend a military experience to make you grow as a person.
Well, Dawn, thank you so much for taking part in the Veterans Oral History
Project. Thank you, Maureen. Thank you so much.